Okay. Shall we begin? Can we start putting the photos up, please? Okay. I have to shout if no one responds. Oh, thank you. Okay, I'd like just while we're talking, we'll be having some photos behind us. The first photo is in chronological order. The first ones are from Singapore. It's got some selfies. Me and Vic learned how to do selfies. So there's quite a few selfies. My kids are always doing them. I thought, well, I might as well join them. If you can't beat them, join them. There's some pictures of transport and places that we stayed. So you can look at that if you get bored of listening to me. And I love going away because I can always wear comfy clothes. So I've got a good excuse to come to church looking a bit different. I always like to start with reading something from God's Word because I get so nervous and it helps me to keep centered. But I just love how what God has been saying throughout this morning, it just totally confirms everything. So my first, I'm just going to read, I've got the wrong page. It would help if I get the wrong page. Right, Hebrews chapter 11, and then I just skip and go into chapter 12. And it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And then chapter 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for who the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Wow. And I think God's already been saying that. Our journey started the beginning of the year before, and the amazing thing is, even what Kate said earlier was really a lot of what had gone on in my life last year. It was a very turbulent time, a very confusing time. But in the midst of that, God can still speak if you have unplugged your ears a little bit, you know. And the beautiful thing is, some of the ladies went and listened to a guy called Daniel Waters from Invaders, and he talked about the sex trafficking. And I thought, yes, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go. I don't know where I'm going yet. And then we thought about Cambodia, and I thought, yes, I'm going. So I applied to all these people and asked them if I could connect. So I wrote to Hagar and Agape and all sorts of people trying to push the doors open to get there. And there was no response. I kind of didn't even get email back half the time. I thought maybe they just don't have my email. So I persisted. And I persisted. And we didn't buy the ticket to go to Cambodia because I was still waiting. I was waiting and waiting and waiting. And nothing happened. And then one day God says, buy the ticket. And I said, yeah, buy the ticket. So we bought the ticket. Now what? Still trying to push doors open. And in the word for today, it's actually amazing. It says, many are the plans in man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And so we said, okay. And people came up to us and said, oh, you're going to Cambodia. What are you doing? Don't know. Okay, where are you going? Don't know. We hadn't even booked a hotel. That's how bad it was. And we were kind of saving and preparing. We were preparing our hearts in the confusion and the chaos of last year. But still, nothing happened. And then finally, Vic said, we better book a hotel, you know, because we still hadn't booked a hotel. And I think we only had about a month to go. And so I was looking through Trivago and all the websites, and you know how you look at them, they all look nice, but you know you've been there, they're not always as nice as they look. at like the nice Palace Hotel in Bangkok. It looked really nice. So Vic said, he just said, oh, I've just found this boutique hotel, and it's called The White Linen, and it's run by Christians. I said, oh, great, book it. So I went on it, booked it and everything. And then about a month, I thought, I better actually find out about this hotel. And then I noticed that it says run by the Daughters of Cambodia. I went, oh, go on a website, what's the Daughters of Cambodia? And it's an organization set up by an English lady called Ruth, who works with sex traffickers. And it's actually run by boys and women who have been caught up in sex trafficking, and it's their business to help them get out and everything. I thought, wow, isn't it wonderful? We didn't even try. And so we felt like we got on the plane and we got to Singapore, and I was bringing back all the memories of my childhood living in Singapore, but nothing looks familiar at all. It looks totally confusing. But and we get to, on the night before, we're making plans of what we would do, and we just thought, well, I just need to trust God and to wait on Him. And throughout the whole 3 weeks, it was like, don't plan anything, just be still and know that I'm God. And I think what God needed to do with me, I don't know about Vic, but He needed to clean out some rubbish and sort out some stuff that was going on and refocus my eyes, to fix my eyes on Jesus so that I wouldn't get tangled up in the things. And the thing is, isn't it funny? When God says something to you, you always plan ahead 10 years. But God's actually in the day-to-day, everyday living. And so I had to learn, we learned that it was just day by day, just waiting. So we'd arrive at a hotel and we wouldn't do anything till the day before, and then we'd book a next hotel or the next journey. So it was a bit like that all the way through. When we get to this hotel, it's beautiful. So guys, if you want a nice romantic weekend, go to Cambodia, Phnom Penh. But don't look at the sights because it's not that romantic. But go to the White Linen Hotel. It's beautiful. So we were in the White Linen Hotel and went to the cafes, ate at their cafes where all the daughters work, bought all the items that you could. Because God just kept him saying, just buy things, spend your money, and keep smiling and saying thank you. That's what we learned a lot of. We went to a museum. And it was filled with thousands and thousands of Buddhas. And years ago, as a young Christian, every time I went into places like that, I'd be, oh, Lord, cover me with the blood of Jesus. Oh, Lord, protect me. And start speaking in tongues and running around and, you know, cleansing the whole building. And I walked in there for the first time, and it was like, what is there to be afraid of? Who is in me is much bigger than anything out in this world, you know. And I just thought, oh my goodness, I've spent 20, 30 years fighting things and speaking out in God's name, how I'm going to set these people free. They're all dead anyway. They're just idols, empty plastic, metal, wood, whatever, idols. They have no power and no authority. And it was just, wow, what a revelation. Because God is so big in us. But we kind of get caught up in all the things that we see. And we get conformed to the world's point of view rather than renewed and transformed by God. So that was quite a revelation. We got actually conned quite a lot by the tuk-tuk guy. He bled us dry, but we kept on smiling. And Vic kept on thinking, that's not fair. I said, smile. We've blessed him. We've blessed him. We take our journey to Phnom Penh. Phnom Penh, most of the buses are quite good, not as good as Thailand, but you get from A to B. The journeys coming back from wherever you're going, back to Phnom Penh, are amazing. The journey going, it's supposed to take 6.5 hours. It took us 9 hours. And most of the road is non-existent. You have to go about 20 k's most of the journey because of the potholes and the traffic. It's quite an experience, and actually we really enjoyed it because it was an adventure. It's our first holiday, mine and Vic's first holiday since we got married together, apart from our honeymoon. So it was really good to connect with him as well as God. So then we get to Siem Reap, and we go and see all these amazing, and you probably would have seen a tree growing out of some ruins. You know, we went there. This is one of the massive big temples in Angkor Wat, and then there's this amazing tree. It's so massive. I mean, you've seen the pictures of me, how small I look compared, well, I'm small anyway, but yeah, it's so big. But the thing was, it was just splitting all the brickwork. And I just thought, wow, you know, man makes religion, but when God comes in, the tree of life, it just totally destroys it all. I thought, wow. And every time I'd say little things, I'd fix it. That's my next sermon. That's my next sermon. So if he says anything today, it's, you got it from me first. And we met his brother in Siem Reap. And that's a place where a lot of sex tourism is. But you know, God didn't connect us with anyone there. And that's where all the organizations and me just kept on the journey. I go up to Battambang, and we're still walking around, just having fun, actually, having a holiday, and thinking, well, maybe we've heard wrong, you know, because I haven't really had any of these divine appointments that people prayed over me for and prophesied. I thought, well, they haven't come yet. But God is actually very good at turning up just at the right time. And usually when me and Vic are lost, because we got lost quite a few times, didn't we? But we always ended up with a divine appointment. So we were walking around Battambang, and we ended up in these back streets, and I was thinking we're actually going further away from where we live, and this is a hot day, and the last thing I want to be doing is walking for another 6 hours, because Vic likes taking me on walks that usually last about 4 hours. His strides are much bigger than mine, so I had to do about 10 stops to his thingy. Anyway, we're walking by and down thinking, I think if we go down this way, we might actually end up on the front, and that way I know where I'm going, because the maps, they tell you the street, but they actually don't coordinate with where you are. And we didn't have a GPS, so we were totally lost. And we're walking along, and suddenly this guy stops us on a tuk-tuk, I mean, not a motorbike one, and they're called motos, so you can get on back of a motorbike anywhere and go for a drive, and you've see me on one that was climbing a real high mountain. I was afraid going up, but terrified going down, and actually smiled at the end because I knew I was safe. But we get this guy, he stops us, and he just says, excuse me, can you tell me the difference between shall and will? Well, I got ungraded English twice, and I am dyslexic, so forgive me, but Vic's a teacher, so that was good. So between the two of us, we managed to work out the difference between shall and will. And then he just started talking about the fact that he'd was teaching young village children who couldn't go to school or couldn't go anywhere because of AIDS and things. There's a lot of AIDS in high villages and things. But also, in Cambodia, you can go to school, state school for free, but you have to be able to buy a uniform or a bag and shoes. And I think you have to have two items of uniform to actually go to school. If you can't afford them, then you can't go to school. So he would ride his motorbike all day, and then in the evening, from 5 till 7, he would teach children. And he started with 25 children. That's my husband. He started with 25 children, and he trained those children up to then, when they went to university, to actually teach the children. And they ended up with 250, was it? 250 children. So I've got some photos of the on there. And he said, oh, you can come and see us. And we said, well, we may. We're not saying we shall. We will. Or we're not sure, kind of thing. But we weren't sure about him because, you know, you can get conned quite a lot if you're European. So we kind of thought it was like a God moment, but we were still like a bit unsure. And when we arrived in Battambang, we were picked up by a guy called Mr. Blue. and he was our tuk-tuk driver, and he had a Batman on his tuk-tuk, and it was quite a character. They called him the DJ because he liked lots of gold and different hats and things. And he actually, about 5 minutes after us, we were walking out, he actually came past us and stopped. He said, "Do you want a tuk-tuk?" We said, "Oh, not today, Mr. Blow. Actually, can you just tell us about this? Do you know anything about this?" "Oh, I know him. He's a really good man. Lots of Europeans go there." So we thought, oh, maybe we might go there. We arrive in this cafe run by YWAM in Vandenbom, and we're sitting down, and then this tall Norwegian girl comes up to us, and she says, "Excuse me, do you mind if I join you?" And we thought, ah, we knew it was YWAM run, come to save us. So she started to talk, and she said, "What brought you to Cambodia?" "Wow, wouldn't you like to know?" And we started to share, and then all of a sudden she started to get, "Oh my goodness, I've got goosebumps." And she started like to filling up, and we said, "Oh," she said, "you're not going to believe me, but this morning I was praying and God told me I would meet an old couple." Older, she kind of tried to then make it, it might be her language, you know, translation, lost in translation. And she said, "An older couple, but the guy would have a blue top on." And at the time, as soon as we walked in, she thought, "Oh," like this. And so to her, it was just confirmation that she had been listening to God. Not so much about a massive kind of big thing, but it just made her feel really encouraged. And we ended up sharing and talking and praying together. And we thought, my goodness, Lord, 3 divine appointments. Keep going. So we just rested and we went to the school. We went and had a little teaching session, not anything major, just said that I was made in Hong Kong and lived in New Zealand and things like that. But it was just good to see what was going on. And we met his father. His father had been a teacher during the Khmer Rouge and he'd been shot in the head. And they had protected the children, and then the children had, this guy who's teaching the children now, he was rescued and taken by some monks and fed and taught, and that's what made him want to pay it forward. You know, he had been rescued and helped, so his heart was, actually, I need to help educate these people. And so the more and more we prayed about things, we were finding, actually, maybe God wants it's education. You know, it's so easy to go and run in there and rescue all these girls and you change their lives. But you actually have to change the system, you know, and a lot of it is through ignorance, tradition, and not being able to read and write and not having any other job but be a pimp or be someone who will get young children. And so those kind of things were in our hearts and we were thinking about that. On our last day but one in Vandenbom, we're sitting by the pool, relaxing, holidaying, really enjoying the sunshine. I forgot to say, in that museum, I had gone to the bookcase, because I have to tell you this bit, otherwise it won't make sense. There was a bookcase, and it was full of the Lonely Planet guides in French and English. There was lots of books on Buddhas and lots of books on their religion, the Khmer Rouge, and all sorts of things. But amongst them, there was this book, and it caught my eye, the top one caught my eye first, and it was a little boy. And it talked about being rescued. But underneath, the same author had written another book, and it was called Restoring Forgiveness or something, yes, something like that. And I thought, Vic hasn't got a book to read. I'll buy that for Vic. So I came out, I said, "I've got you a book, Vic," because I had my book on Surrender by Eric Liddell and about his life. And I thought, but you know what? Vic picked my book and he read my book. And he read, and I said, I had no book to read because I started reading this book, but I'm a type of person that reads books very slowly because they break my heart too much and I can't read too much of it, you know. So I'd read a little bit. I thought, I can't read that at this moment in time because God was dealing with things. So Vic finally gets the book out and starts reading it. And he's by the pool and we're relaxing. There's just the two of us. The sun is shining. The water's really inviting. I went in a couple of times. And then all of a sudden this noisy Asian, sorry, this chat, you know, came up and started speaking to the waiter and rattling away. And I was thinking, you're really annoying me. Please go away, in my head. And God just said, don't judge a book by its cover. And I thought, that is a typical English phrase, you know, so you don't judge somebody by what they look like. And I went, okay. So he sat down, and I thought, he went quiet. I thought, that's good. The next minute, he gets his mobile phone out and starts speaking in Chinese, because I realized later on he's from Hong Kong. And he's yapping away, and I'm thinking, you really are annoying me. And God says, don't judge, look what I'm going to do. Watch what I'm going to do, sorry. And I thought, oh, I need to talk to the guy. Okay, now Vic's there, Chinese man's there, and I'm here. How do you talk to someone without being rude? And is it culturally acceptable for me to shout across and say, hi, what are you doing here? No, not really. So I'm sitting there thinking, Vic, please talk to him. Vic, you know, might get my mind messages. Please talk to him, please talk to him, please talk to him. And then all of a sudden the guy said, are you enjoying the book? And Vic says, yeah, it's really good. He said, he's my best friend. And I went, oh, best friend. Okay, so then he starts to tell us his story. He's a medical doctor, and he'd been in Cambodia for 20 years. He used to work in the refugee camps, which also automatically connected me, because when I was 21, I was going to Cambodia to work in a refugee camp, but I never got there. And I think God's time is perfect. And then he started telling us about, he had a Bible school, and his friend had also taught, the one who wrote the book, had taught in the Bible school, and that he often comes up to Siem Reap, because he lives in Siem Reap now, and meets up with him, and that they've got this Bible school, but now they've just bought some land to build a Christian university outside of Phnom Penh. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. Education, okay. Just store that. Don't try and run ahead. The next minute, he said, oh, so I'm going now today. I'm going down to Phnom Penh because I'm going to meet my friends in the, oh, we're going to Phnom Penh tomorrow. Where you go? Oh, we're going to the White Linen. Oh, I'm meeting my friends at the White Linen Boutique Hotel because they're from Canada. They're business people, and they've actually come to meet, hopefully, Ruth and the lady who you'll see in a minute, organization, and connect with her. So we ended up talking, exchanging, and maybe we'll see you when we get to Phnom Penh. And so we thought, if this is right, we'll bump into them again, because God's very good at doing these things. We go back to Phnom Penh, and we meet the Chinese couple from Canada first, and they were talking about how they wanted to meet Ruth, and it was a bit impossible that they'd emailed her because they wanted to maybe get to know the organization, maybe support it. We actually hadn't any plans to meet Ruth, and we'd love to have met her, but we'd heard she was so busy. So we're down in breakfast, have breakfast, and a Canadian girl comes up to us, and she says, I hear you're, are you the couple that's trying to meet Ruth? I can help you. No, we're not the couple, but you can tell us about it and tell us about the organ. So we get to hear about these things. We go off on our little walk and get lost again for 2.5 hours. And I'm really tired. And it was my fault that we got lost because I couldn't read the map. But also I wanted to go somewhere and we couldn't find it. And we ended up walking around and I said, well, let's go back now. And after 2.5 hours, we get back to the star walk into the hotel. And this lady comes out of the hotel. And she says, oh, hello, are you the couple who's trying to connect with me? She must be Ruth. No, we're not, but please. And so we ended up talking to her. And just being in her presence just radiated so much of Jesus Christ. But I saw the suffering. I think God opened my spirit up to see there's a woman who's totally surrendered and totally committed to rescuing people. And just totally committed to serving Jesus Christ. She's a mighty woman of prayer. Just by, you know, you meet people and you think, oh my goodness, I've just been in the presence of Jesus and it's so good. And we just went on and then we went to the cafe and we're sitting having something nice to eat. And then a girl comes up, serves us, and I look at her and I smile. And then she comes back and she fills up our water again. Walks away, and then all of a sudden, tears just flowed. I was like a blubbering wreck for no reason, but I don't know why. And it was just, God was just opening my eyes because I was ready then to be opened. It wasn't a plan. It wasn't me trying to work out something. It was just God trying to connect me with his heart for what was going on over there, and just seeing this amazing restoration of human lives. If you'd seen these girls, you would never have thought the trauma they had been through. They had, were such beautiful, precious girls that were pure white. You know, I looked at them and I just saw innocence and pure white. And this, the logo for the boutique is from Revelations, and they will be dressed in pure white linen. And that was why it was called Pure White Linen. We go back to the hotel, go upstairs. I'm still blabbering, and I don't know what's happening. And we have a phone call, and they said it's Andrew downstairs. And Andrew is the guy we met in Siem Reap, who's the doctor. And we go back downstairs, and I look at them, and they connect us with the Canadians. And we say, oh, we still haven't met Ruth. We can't meet with her. Oh, we met with her. Because she thought we were you. but I think God wanted us to meet her. And they started to talk. Well, then I'm blubbering again. And I'm crying. I'm so sorry, hiding behind the building, because I can't face anybody, because I just saw God at work in these amazing people. And Vic just felt like he should pray for them. And as he prayed, I thought, yeah, that was... And it was a prayer about restoring God's love, not being busy, doing so much, but actually not being still and not knowing who you serve and allow him to do it through you rather than you do it. So we've got their emails. We're going to support the organization. We're not sure where yet, because I realize I don't want to plan my 10-year plan. I want God to plan every step of the way. But I realize that Christ in us, his glory revealed through us, transforms lives. And it's not about what we can do. And I realize I've got so busy and so weary doing good because I've done it rather than him doing it. And I think the one thing I learned about Cambodia is be still. But also reflect Jesus. Don't be an imitation. And reflection is that he is reflected. And God's, Jesus Christ is in us. He's very good at being God. We don't need to be God. He will do it for us.